All right. Would you join me in Romans 8th chapter? By now, your Bible should fall open to Romans 8, most likely. Romans chapter 8, we're going to read verses 26 and 27. If you'll stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, let's read together 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Thank you. Have a seat. Heavenly Father, it is a great privilege again to open up Your Word. And God, we know that that we want to be guided by Your Word because Your Word is truth. And we want to take in the truth of this Word, Lord, today and find a comfort for our souls in the midst of suffering and struggling and questions and doubts and concerns that we don't know what to do with. And Father, we want to pray over those who have come in and joined us to fellowship with us this morning who don't know You as Savior, Lord. And as they, Lord, I pray as they hear of the great work and ministry of Your Spirit inside of believers that they would long for the comfort and the direction and the care that He extends to believers and that they would run to Jesus for salvation today. And that today would be the day that they would finally know true peace, true comfort, and true joy. And I just ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we come, we're continuing in our study of Romans chapter 8. We have entered into the greatest part of the chapter for me. From here on out, it just gets better and better and better. We looked at verses 18 through 25 last week, and what we discussed was looking at that at the end of the previous section, which is chapter 8, verse 17, it's kind of the end of the previous section. Paul hit us with the nugget that a part of being a Christian is suffering for the name of Christ. So there's going to be our alliance with Jesus is going to result in suffering for us. And then in 18, he hits us with this forceful tidal wave of, yes, there is suffering. Yes, you will have to go through it. But 18 comes along and says, but every bit of suffering in this present age will not be worthy to be compared to that which is to come. And for that, we're extremely thankful. And then he builds this this doctrine of hope through the next few verses. The doctrine of hope is based on this, essentially. Inside of each believer is the knowledge that this is not the way it should be. I shouldn't still struggle with sin the way that I do inside of myself. I should not still struggle with the sin of others and the way that it affects me. Others should not struggle with my sin and the way that it affects them. We don't long to see hurricanes and earthquakes and volcano eruptions. We're longing and groaning, the scripture says, to see a time where all of that will come to an end. But we're not alone in our groaning. We're told in those verses that we looked at last week that creation joins us in a chorus of groaning. And creation, though, knows something that we need to be reminded of, and that it is, it will be this way until the day that each and every believer in Jesus Christ receives a new glorified body. At which time, it's all going to be different. We read over to finish up last week, we read over in Revelation chapter 21 where the Lord taught John about a new heaven and a new earth and a place where the things of this current time, such as crying, pain, suffering, all those things, including death, will be one day called former things. And we look forward to that, we long for that, and we groan for that. But he finished out the section by saying, we hope for it, I just sure hope it happens, but hope is what drives us forward in our daily walk with Jesus. It's what keeps us going when things are bad. Yeah. But it's hope. And the reason it's hope is because you don't have what you're hoping for just yet. You know it's out there. You know it's ahead. You just don't have it yet. You haven't laid hold of it just yet. Now, with that reminder, we come to our first part of our first section for today, and you will notice that immediately we're hit with the word likewise. You skip over two words, and you're hit with the word also, and we're immediately drawn to the idea that whatever is going to follow out of this is meant to be a help to us just like hope is. You know, some days, if you'll be honest as a Christian, some days things are just hard. They're just nasty. They're tough. You don't know what to do. You're just confused about every single thing that's going on. And you say to yourself, I don't know how to go forward. I don't know what else to do. I feel like quitting. I feel like whatever. And you say, I don't know what to do. It is at those moments when your groaning gets real loud that the Holy Spirit reminds you of what we looked at last week. And you say, okay, there's some hope. Because this current situation is not the eternal situation for me as a believer. It won't always be this way. And that is something that comes along. And some days, listen, if you'll be honest, believer, some days the only thing that can get you out of bed in the morning is knowing that it's not going to always be like this. It's not always going to continue in this way. And if it were that we saw that there was no relief ahead, or that the relief was some poor, pathetic effort, we wouldn't continue. We wouldn't do it because hope is essential. We have this hope because of the things that God has promised us. They are good and they are coming, and so it gives us hope. But there is another hope that you and I need, and I need to give you that hope this morning. I need to give it to myself this morning. Let me tell you about it. It is to do with the Holy Spirit of God. We have looked extensively in Romans and in other places throughout the time that I've been here with you, and you've had other pastors have done the same great service for you, and they have told you that when you become a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, one of the many blessings that comes out of that is God gives you His Holy Spirit to dwell inside of you. Now, you don't get all mixed up. Don't think, you know, like the Holy Spirit, He's moved in, He's hanging curtains and stuff like that. That's not the intended purpose. The intended purpose is to get you thinking that now where all you used to have was your own sinful desires, your own sinful wishes, and your own wrong view of life. How many of you have gotten old enough to know now that your view of life is skewed, tainted, and wrong? I've gotten old enough to see that. The view of life I have is not right, because I can taint it with some Martin Pinnell glasses. Now, let me tell you, though, what happened is when I accepted Christ, reality was introduced to my world. Truth is reality as God sees it, and when the Holy Spirit speaks truth into my life, He does not care if my reality does not match up with the truth, in the sense of He doesn't change reality to match what I think. Ain't you glad, Jeff? That's good news. And so when the Spirit of God speaks to my spirit, He is giving me the truth, because that's all He can do, because He does not know how to lie. It is not in Him to lie at all. And so one of the things that's happened to me is I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I've been given the Spirit, and the Spirit is doing work inside of every believer. How many of the believers is the Spirit at work inside of? All of them. Do you mean all of the preachers? That's probably what you meant, isn't it? No, you meant all of the preachers and all of the deacons, most likely. Or did you mean all of us? All of us. You know, sometimes, and this is some to blame on preachers and deacons, and some to blame on people who aren't getting excited about their own walk with Christ, but we tend to elevate certain people and think, well, that guy probably has a better phone line connection to the Holy Spirit than I do. Same God saved you, saved me, folks. He can talk to you. He can work in you. In fact, He is, just whether or not we're picking up the line to hear what He's got to say. Let me tell you some things here about what He does. Look at that word there. Likewise and also. And what we're meant to think when we see the words likewise and also is link up what's been saying. So, Christian, are you going through suffering, struggling, hard time? Do you have some questions about some things that are going on in your life? Yes. Well, number one, you need to know there is hope. It's not always going to be like this. Number two, you need to know that the Spirit of God in you is not just there holding on to you till you get to the fullness of your salvation at the return of Christ. He's actively doing something in you. He is also doing something that also is meant to remind you that He is working alongside the hope that He gives you. Aren't you glad that God doesn't just give us one thing and say, now suck it up, you got to get it done with that. He gives us more than we could ever need. And He says this. He says, likewise, the Spirit also, and then you guys look up there on the screen, what is the word that immediately follows also? Helps. So how many of you right now in your own heart and your mind, you could say, you know what? I could probably use some of that Spirit-led help right now. Hopefully you were honest. And hopefully you could use it. And I'll explain why you should want help here in just a second. Help is a big thing. When I can think of many times that I've needed help before, not just on a spiritual level, but in just a regular level. Have you ever been carrying out a project and the one thing you needed was at least one more hand? You know, I mean, you ever try to do something, hold a kid and open a jar? Just a simple illustration. How nice would it be if right here in the middle of these two ribs, a little hand came out and unscrewed that lid for you? Man, you'd smile like crazy. You know why? Because you need a little help right then. And it would be so nice to have somebody walk into the kitchen right at that moment and say, hey, can you get me a drink while you're at it? No. They say, hey, let me help you with that. And they reach out and they take that jar and they undo it. When we think of help, what we think of is someone coming alongside of us to help us to accomplish something that we are currently not capable of doing on our own. That's what we're meant to think. Now, here's where the rub comes in for you and I on a daily basis. The Spirit is there to help. We're just not always wanting to receive help. That's one of our problems. Anybody in here, you're a little bit stubborn. Anybody in here, you're a little bit like, I think I can probably do this all by myself. Watch. Hey, y'all, hey, watch this. And we get that. Now, listen to me. What happens in that moment is we are hindering the help that God is giving us in the Spirit, and instead choosing to operate in the next word that's big in the passage, weakness or weaknesses. There is some dispute as to whether or not this word is meant to be singular or plural. I can tell you this, in Paul's writings, if he does mean it to be the singular, what he means is all your weaknesses wrapped up as one big package, or you can say it plurally and say all your weaknesses. So it's either all of them or all of them, whichever way you want to go. If you want to bicker about it, we can talk about that after the service. But all of them, whichever direction you go. Now what happens is the Spirit is there to help in our weakness or weaknesses, and so when I get to the point where I'm in a struggle. I'm in a battle with whatever spiritual thing that is going on in my life. It is heavy, it is discouraging, and it is hard to know what to do. When that happens, I am going to tend, because I'm a sinner, to try to say, I'm going to try to handle this on my own in the way that seems most logical to me to handle it. Stop me if I get way off track for you. And I say, there's probably a very logical way to handle this and a very reasonable way. But here's the problem with logic and reason inside of a brain that doesn't see reality as it really is. I'm logical and I'm reasonable as far as if you could see the world the way that I do. None of you see the world the way that I do. The closest person in this room to see the world the way that I do is Aaron. And she reminds me all the time that I see the world in a very different way than most people. And so I encourage you with that little nugget for this simple fact. What I'm trying to tell you is when you and I make the mistake of being in a difficult time and we begin to try to apply our best efforts, we're failing to see that what we're really doing is we're applying weakness to a situation that needs great strength. If I placed right here in the middle a 500-pound weight and told you your job was to move it, now you could come up with a myriad ways to try to move that 500-pound weight. But let's just say that the person standing right next to you can easily lift 20,000 pounds with one hand. And so you fight and you push and you pull and you lay against it. You lay down on the floor next to it and you're pawing at the carpet trying to get this thing to move. And you're being very unsuccessful. All the while, here is standing next to you this person that could easily move it. Let me ask you something. If somebody walked into the room and said, "What are you doing?" And you said, "Well, I've got to move this 500-pound weight." Is he just not willing to help? Oh, yeah, he's offered nonstop. I can't even think about how to move this thing because he keeps interrupting me to offer to move it. This analogy, you get where I'm going with the analogy? And so the Spirit of God is constantly talking to my spirit, and he's saying, "Stop trying to do it. That's not going to work. Stop trying to do that. That's not going to work. Let me do this. Let me lead. Let me do this. Let me lead." And I keep saying, "If you would be quiet, God, I could figure out how to get this thing figured out." Y'all are holier than me. You wouldn't do such things. But you'll just have to take it from a sinner. The Spirit helps in our weakness or our weaknesses. Listen, our weakness or our weaknesses are our slants towards sin. Even with the Spirit in me, even with forgiveness in Christ, I am drawn to sin. And if you will be honest this morning, you are drawn towards sin. That weakens you. It keeps you from being all that you should be. And not only that, but just remember that your greatest strength, God's weakness, easily thwarts it, as Scripture would say. And he doesn't have any weakness, but it's just a mental picture for you. Now look at what he goes on into. I want you to know something, that when you and I are trying to deal with our own struggles and our own sufferings, one of the things that we rightfully do is we pray. How many of you think you ought to pray when things are tough? How many of you think you ought to pray when you're suffering and struggling? You ought to do that. But let me give you some truth news, not discouraging news, but truthful news. You don't know how to pray like you ought to pray. Come on now. Paul, you're killing me here. Can't you say I can do anything right, Paul? Would it hurt to just say I can get this one thing right on my own? And he says, "Yeah, it would hurt. It would hurt to say you could do it right." Now, let me tell you, guys, this is a humbling part of our passage in Romans 8. Christians, as you suffer, as you struggle, and as you battle in the everyday sufferings of life, you and I don't really know how to ask God what to do about it. Have you ever looked at a battle, figured out what needed to be done, and so that you didn't try to do it on your own, you let God know what he should do? Anybody? No witnesses, huh? No testimonies. All right. Nobody raising their hand to say, "I'd like to give an example, Pastor." What happens is, when I do this, I'm recognizing something that's good. Let me tell you this. We're recognizing something that is good when we pray. We're recognizing that the current situation is larger than we can understand at the moment that we're in it. How many of you have ever been through something difficult, looked back at it later, and realized that it was larger than your part of the issue? There was more going on than you were aware of. You ever known that? You guys that are a little bit younger, when you get a little bit older, you're going to look back at a lot of situations and you're going to go, "Oh man, I didn't know any of that was going on. I only could see my little portion of the viewing area." And so when that happens in our own suffering and in our own struggling, when that happens to our hearts, we say, okay, now if I'm only able to see a little bit of the area, but I want to give a universal proclamation about what should happen to everybody from my point of view in the situation. Are you starting to see the weakness? Are you starting to see that a part of your weakness is you just don't know, one, what other people are going through? Number two, as we shall see in the weeks to come, you don't know what God's actually trying to do. That's going to be a big one, y'all. That's going to be a big one. We get to Romans 8, 28, one of the most often quoted passages of comfort, often not well received at the moment of quoting. We shall look at that in the weeks to come, but for today, folks, when we pray, I have stood before the throne of God and asked Him to remove something. It could be my own sin. When I was at UPS, I had one guy that he heckled me for my faith continually. You know what? After a while, it began to be a prayer of, Lord, can this guy get another job somewhere? Switch a shift, maybe? I have so many examples, as do you, of times where I've stood before the throne and I've told God what I was pretty sure should happen. And by the grace of God, He did not listen to what I said and do what I asked. Let me say, make sure you heard that. One of the greatest graces God has ever given me is not answering the affirmative of what I've asked for. I've asked Him for things, and He said no, or no way. I remember, just to give you a few, I won't give you the serious examples because they're heavy, they're burdensome, but I'll give you a funny example. When I was 16 years old, I began to plead before the throne of God for a Z28 Camaro with a 6-speed manual transmission. Because as anyone knows, the Spirit of God would want me to have such a car. Could you imagine how quickly I could get to people to minister to them with said car? I pleaded and I begged before the Lord, and I never got the car. God knew what I needed and would not give me what I wanted. I remember also 7th and 8th and 9th and 10th grade prayers concerning certain young ladies that I was just certain if God would hedge their hearts towards me, everybody would be super happy with the situation. Y'all are too holy to pray for such menial things. Not I. I want to tell you something. Seeing what God had prepared for me makes me really glad He didn't say yes to some of those girls in 7th grade. Those seem just funny, and they are to an extent. And they seem almost meaningless when I mention them, but I want to tell you something. They have a profound effect on who I am today. Because even in that little thing at that young age, God was beginning to teach me that when you pray, I might not give you what you want because what you want is not good for you. He loves me as a father does. And He says, I don't know how to pray like I ought. Now that's where we've been at, so let's move on to what the Spirit does. The Spirit knows me. The Spirit knows the Father. And the Spirit knows the will of the Father. And we're going to go through all that through these verses. But I need you to see this as a picture. Because the Spirit is aware of all of these things, He is able to make intercession for me. And you say, well, what does that mean? What does it mean that He intercedes on my behalf? Well, let me ask you something. Have you ever had someone ask you with great zeal and fervor for something that was a really bad idea? Anybody? Yes. Okay, good. Good. How did you feel as they asked it? You kind of want to look at them and be like, are you serious? Now imagine You know, God is God, and He is infinitely greater than us. But imagine this. Imagine as we bring all of our trivial mindset, small picture ideas to God, and we say, God, we figured it out. This is what you should do. And then we sit back and go, He's being silent right now. He's probably just overwhelmed. He's probably thinking to himself, how did I not see that? Now, what's really happening is the Spirit is saying He's not got that redeemed body just yet. There's still some of that old Martin in there, and that is what's interfering. Now, I know what He really wants. He really wants to please you, His Father. And though what came out of His mouth was not pleasing, that's not where His heart really is, because in His heart He's been redeemed. And it just hasn't been all the way fleshed out yet. He intercedes for me. He gets in there, and I want you to know something. He begins to ask for the proper things. How many of you have ever had the opportunity where somebody was going to get to ask for something, and you could tell them, now before you ask, I need you to think about what you're about to ask for. If you were told that a young person was going to have the opportunity to ask Bill Gates for one thing, any one thing that they wanted, and you knew that this kid absolutely loved bubblegum bubblegum, and you thought to yourself, there's a high chance that when they approach Bill Gates, they're going to say, I would like a lifetime supply of bubblegum bubblegum. Do you think that if you were a wise helper, that you might move in and get in that ear a little bit, and you might say, you know, what can be almost as fun as a lifetime supply of bubblegum bubblegum? About $400 million, with which we can buy the company bubblegum bubblegum. And you could begin to say, you might not know how to ask for what you ought to. Now, when the Spirit does this for us, I need you to see a couple of things here that are really important. One, the Spirit knows what you need better than you do. This is one of the hard truths of Christianity, living out in the flesh. You and I think we know what we need, and we don't. The reason we don't, weakness. Can't see enough of the actual picture, don't know the full plan and will of God, and don't have the ability to do things that God has the ability to do. And so we begin to ask, and we ask amiss, we ask wrongly, and the Holy Spirit doesn't just leave us there. He intercedes on our behalf, and He does it. Notice it says, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, among theologians, there is a great controversy here as to whether or not the Spirit is groaning, or the Spirit teaches us to groan. I'm cool with either way. I don't really know that there was enough information in the text for me to even come up with the question, much less the answer. But I just share it with you so you can wrestle with it on your own time. Now, what happens with groaning? Now we are tied in yet again with the necessity of groaning. If I don't even know how to pray like I ought to, that ought to make me groan. It ought to make me long for. Because what am I doing when I'm praying? I'm conversing with God. You know what, folks? I would like to know how to talk to God. I would like to know how to listen when He speaks back. Now, if I don't know how to do that because of my weakness, I ought to groan within me, and I might not be able to get out a word. And if I had a witness in here that would testify, you've been at a place where your burden was so heavy, the truth of your weakness was so real, that all you could get out was a groan. You couldn't get out a physical word. Now, I'm not talking about getting all ecstatic-y utterancy and things that don't have any interpreter. I'm not talking about those today. Those are a different conversation for a different time. This is about the Spirit of God brings up or does His own groaning within you that is an expression of where you are. Sometimes a groan is more capable of communicating than a word. When you stub your toe, do you say, "Oh, excuse me, I'm in a small amount of pain due to stubbing my toe"? You groan. Why? Because the instant you groan, the person in the room next to you knows that you are in pain. You don't have to say, "I am in pain." No, you groan. Get it. All right, hold it. Verse 27, "He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is." Let me stop there. The Holy Spirit of God and God the Father working together in the life of every believer. And I want you to know something. I want you to hear something. Even when you don't know what to ask for, He searches your heart to see what's going on. Now, why does that matter? It's going to really matter when we get to the next verse. But let me give you a little foretaste of why it matters. Because right this minute, your heart needs to learn something about the God that you serve. And God's not going to waste this trial, struggle, or suffering you are currently in. And though you may think you see the most correct way forward, God does see the most correct way forward. And so since He knows you much better than you know yourself, He says, God says, "I can't submit myself to your will because that's not what's best for you. I'm going to make you stand by my will. I'm going to make you keep going in this." So He begins. He searches the heart. How many of you are a little bit encouraged and also challenged by the reminder that God is a God who searches the heart? If you're like me, there's parts of your heart that are still dark. I'm as saved as I can be, folks. I can't get more saved than I am because that is the accomplishment of Jesus Christ. But until the redemption of this body, there are parts of me that are just not where they should be. But there's a God who searches my heart. And He goes into those parts of my heart that I wish He wouldn't go into. And He opens the door. And when He does, the darkness behind the door is flooded with what? Light. And when light comes in, it exposes the truth of that, and God begins to work on me. So He searches my heart, but He also knows, the Father knows exactly what the Spirit is wanting. Guys, have you ever given any thought that what the Holy Spirit of God wants for you is to know and do the will of God and to be conformed into the image of the Son, Jesus Christ? That is what the Spirit wants for you. And so when the Spirit groans out and intercedes for you, something, the Father knows, the Spirit has said this because in Jeff's life, this is exactly what Jeff needs right now to be conformed into the image of Jesus and to be pushed forward in his relationship with God. And this is what he needs. Let me tell you something. Where you are is what you need if you're a believer. Now, I'm going to tell you, that is incredibly big boy, big girl stuff. And may I just take a brief aside to say, when I say that I do not agree with prosperity gospel, I want you to hear me, that I do not agree with prosperity gospel. My reason for my dislike of prosperity gospel has nothing to do with happiness or joy that they seem to give out. My issue with it is they teach believers that if God leads you in a path that leads down to a way where you could go through suffering, struggle, and trial, that you got something wrong along the way, or you didn't have enough faith, and you could be happy, go lucky, rich, have everything if you would just simply do this one thing right, you could have everything. I'm sorry. I've read this before. It has some contradictory notes to that message, this passage being one of them. He knows what the mind of the Spirit is because makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This right here, listen to me. I've already said this, so I'm not going to hit on it long, but I do want you to hear it again. God knows what is right. God knows what is best. He'll walk you to wherever you need to go through to show you what is right and what is best. And he will walk with you that whole way. Son of God made a promise to all of his children. He said, I am with you. Does that mean that our good shepherd walks into the valley of the shadow of death with us? Does that mean that he walks into the pain and the suffering and the trial with us as one more in the fire? It does. It does. Now, why on earth would God do that? We have a tendency to turn this and focus it on ourselves and be like, God, can't you do this a nicer, easier way? Let me ask you something. What is it in God that would make him so patient, so loving, and so wonderful towards us that he would walk with us through the stink and mire of this world to form himself in us? We're not asking the right question if we're asking, well, why is God letting me go through this? We should be asking the question, what manner of love are we talking about if God is willing to go through all of this to bring and bear out Christ more in me? Who am I that God would do such a marvelous thing? I am no one. So this is all on God. He is all wonderful. He is all powerful. And why? Because God has a will. God has a design and a desire for your life that is included in the great design of all that he is going to do. And he wants you to be a part of what he's doing. And Christian, you should have a hunger to be a part of what God is trying to do. And I want to tell you something. If you've lost that desire, I forewarn you. If you've lost the desire to do what God wants you to do, he's going to lead you into trial, suffering, and struggle until you desire that will again. Why? Because it is far better that you would walk through 6 months or 12 years of desert to get back to the right path of enjoying God than it would be that you would go happy-go-lucky missing all that God had for you your whole life. It is far, far, far better. Now, that has paved the way for 28. And I look forward to sharing that with you in the weeks to come. It is a big verse, not in its number of words, in its usage, in its application, and in its truth. I'm going to read it for you to wet your whistle about it before I pray. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I'm telling you, borrow Superman's underwear if you can next week. It gets big boy stuff, big girl stuff. You can't come in here and just half-hearted at Jesus and try to get through next week. We're not going to do it very well, because you're going to have to look into the eye of everything that you've ever gone through, and you're going to have to say, and God brought good, and God brought good, and God brought good, and God brought good. How many times? All the times, every time, without fail, he's going to do it. I'm going to ask you now if you will join me by bowing your heads and closing your eyes. There's no magic formula here. It is simply an attempt to get you to focus on your own heart and not be distracted by your neighbor. Christians, we are all imperfect, and we all see our little bitty teeny tiny slice of the universe. And if we were left to that, it would not be for our good. We have God who loves us. He's given us His Spirit. Right now, I wonder if I might encourage the believers in this room that you might begin to confess that in your own suffering, struggling, trials, that you know that you're one of those people like I am that tries to solve it in your own weakness, that tries to come up with the most logical, reasonable way to handle it, that likes to come up with the way forward that will involve your weakness and not God's strength, or you like to give God some information that He most likely doesn't have to help Him solve the problem in a way that is slanted, angled towards your solution. Please, right now, confess. I don't care if it's a family issue, a church issue, a sin issue, an issue with suffering in your work, an issue with suffering with some complete stranger that you barely, like you don't hardly know them at all. I don't care what the struggle is with, what the fight is with, what the battle is with. If you will believe the Word of God, you will have to say, in my weakness, I don't know what to do with this. But in the grace of God, I was given the Spirit. Now, Spirit, You know my heart. Are you praying, Christian? Spirit, You know my heart. And You know that although I am still sinful and I do still get in my own way, You know my chief desire is to know the will of God and to be in it. And whatever it takes to be born in me that truth, then I'll trust Your leading. I'll trust that You haven't made mistakes yet. And I'll trust that You're the God who can do this. Some of you right there where you are, your mind is just burning 100 miles an hour thinking about a spouse. Some of you are thinking 100 miles an hour about a child is away from the Lord. Some of you are thinking about situations that have arisen in life you don't know what to do with, and you're saying, I don't know how to move forward. Let me ask you something. Can it be that you can lay it down and trust the promise of the Word of God? And the Word is truth because of who gave it to us. Heavenly Father, I lift this. God, I lift this, but only by the strength that You give, because, Lord, everything in this passage, Lord, is a burden beyond lifting for those of us who are weak. But God, You have no limit. There is nothing that You cannot do. And so, God, I pray and I ask that for every believer that this truth would be born in their heart. Lord, that it would be revived and that it would reawaken, that it would animate them in areas where they have been lifeless. Lord, for every believer in here that has been looking at a trial or a struggle and not being able to figure out what to do, Lord, let Your Spirit groan within them, or let Him create that groaning in them in such a way that bears out the will of God in their lives, Lord, and that they get to look back on it and see that You never left them, You never forsook them, You never failed them, but that You were faithfully forming them into the image of Your Son. God, we confess and do not deny that our own selves get in our own way so badly that we are enemy number one in this. Please, Lord, remove us from ourselves. Get us out of our own way. And God, would You be praised. God, would You work this in a mighty way. Now, I'm going to open.